Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So a couple of interesting things, and something we are going to be talking about, is this pay for slay business. So the main architect behind the congressional legislation that suspended U.S. aid to the Palestinian Authority over its payment to security prisoners and their families of slain attackers said on Tuesday that he's cautiously optimistic about Ramallah's decision to reform the payment system that critics argue incentivized terrorism. Now, I'm not sure why critics should argue it. It's a fact. Anyway, Sandra Gerber said that the decree signed by the PA, by the President Mahmoud Abbas on Monday, is a step in the right direction, as it moves the families of prisoners and slain attackers into the same welfare system as the rest of Palestinian society, which receives stipends strictly based on economic need. However, he told the Times of Israel that the decree makes no mention of ending the PA Prisoner Club and Martyrs Fund, which support families of those in jails in Israel, of those killed or injured carrying out attack. So it does seem to go some way towards ending or limiting the pay for slay, but does it really help? We wanted to chat to an expert on this, Anne Hertzberg, who's a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare. Anne, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So can we just understand for people who are not familiar with the pay for slay concept, what is it?
It's actually quite outrageous when you learn the details. So what the PA was doing was, when Palestinians were imprisoned for committing terrorist attacks, or if they were killed, if they were alive in jail, they would be getting payments. But if they had been killed, the family would get payments based on the type of attack, how long they would be imprisoned for, how many people they killed. And the more people they killed, the more money they would get. So some of the prisoners, and this line item in some years was as high as $300 million in the PA budget.
So there's actually a line item. There's a line item in the PA budget that says the more Israeli/Jews you kill, the more we pay you.
Exactly. It was outrageous, outrageous policy. So it really came to the fore in around 2020, I believe, when there was a U.S. citizen, Taylor Force,
yes,
who was murdered in a terror attack in the United States.
I remember.
And as a result of that, Congress passed a law that the PA could not get any U.S. funding until it got rid of this pay-for-slay program.
Right.
And so that really started, drawing attention to this. And several countries were also found implicated in giving payments for this program, including the U.K., Norway, and the EU. Now, the U.K. claimed it stopped giving the payments, but with the budgeting for the PA, there's a lot of finagling of the money that comes in,
right,
and loopholes. And so what we're seeing now with this new deal is, I'm not sure how genuine it is, because it looks as if the PA has just set up some quasi-governmental entity that's going to be paying money still. Now, they claim... Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, carry on. Carry on with your perspective, yes, and then I'll ask the questions.
Yeah, sure. So they claim now they're going to be making the determinations based on financial need as opposed to incentivizing how many people you killed. But because it's still an entity being run by the PA, I suspect that is not going to happen. And I think also this is really a way to just circumvent Taylor Force.
And all that happens is it just goes deeper underground.
Exactly.
I know it's no comfort, but at least they're being honest about their hatred for Jews.
100%. And the Europeans, this will be a great way for the Europeans to start flooding the PA with money as well, because it's going to an NGO.
Yeah, right. It's not about the law. I mean, it is about the law, and it's about stopping the funding of terror. But on the most basic level, isn't this a metaphor for the whole conflict? That the PA, the Palestinian Authority, support a notion that it's legitimate to murder Jews and Israelis because you don't recognize or value their existence, either as a state or as people. This is a metaphor, I would imagine, for the entire conflict.
Absolutely. And this really is the crux of the conflict. Because if the Palestinians would get rid of this belief and actually start educating their children to live in coexistence peacefully with Israel, we could have seen, as people have said, Gaza could have been Singapore, could have been this great coastal enclave. They had the opportunity to do that, and they've squandered it because of this demented hatred of Jews and unwillingness to accept our presence in the Middle East. And I think it's also indicative of this game that the international community has been playing for 30 years, that somehow the PA is any different in its ultimate objectives than a group like Hamas. You know, it's maybe they go about it in different ways, you know, but ultimately the ultimate objective is still the elimination of Israel. Some are just doing it now. Hamas is, you know, actively, and not to say the PA isn't doing that actively, but they're a little bit smarter and playing the long game and hoping that, you know, they can erode Israel over time. So again, the end goal is the same, even if the means are different.
Right.
So I think that that whole paradigm needs to be shifted.
And how do you do that?
Yeah, this is the problem. This is the problem we're facing even now. You know, this is why Gaza has to be rebuilt. This is why we've had these wars every few years, and now this catastrophe. It has to start with education, but I honestly, at this point, I'm not sure who can come in and even do that. And the UN for certainly cannot, and they are willing participants in continuing this dynamic. So I do think some of the good things that even though maybe some of the solutions he's proposing are we shouldn't say, maybe concerning.
But he is
giving a complete shift in how people see the conflict. And I think that's important, because that will hopefully shake things up enough that people will really do the hard work to figure out what we can do about it.
The reality is that at least we're having the conversation. I know that there was this conversation, as you said, when it became important in the United States. But other than that, this conversation has mostly disappeared. We certainly don't see it. Media's not our friend, so therefore a pay for slay never gets spoken about unless we're bringing it, or somebody is bringing it, to the attention of the world. Donald Trump and the United States is now bringing it to global attention again, whereas it's an absurdity that we're even talking about it. It's better than not talking about it.
Right. And also, I think what he's doing is he's really putting the onus on the Arab countries. You know, for too long, they've been getting away with this double game, you know, where they're taking billions of dollars in taxpayer funding, and you know they're supposed to be partners for peace, Egypt and Jordan most notably, and yet they're encouraging this dynamic that's encouraging conflict. And so these and other countries in the Arab League, you know, he's finally saying, look, you're part of the problem and you need to come up with solutions. We're not going to let you get away with taking our money and making the problem worse. So I think these are very important things that are happening right now. So, like he did with the embassy in his first term.
Correct. So how do you think? Where do you foresee this going?
Well, what I hope it does is start sparking conversations in Europe primarily. Because they also are a significant problem, and they're also the primary donors of this as well. So I'm hoping that this is going to force the Europeans to take a look at what they're doing and to end their destructive policies and funding to UNRWA. I do think that's something that is going to happen. We already see Italy saying they're not supporting it. So I hope that's one thing. I hope we see the end to these nonsense ICJ claims, ridiculous lawsuits, that, you know, when we saw the hostages last Shabbat completely, you know, have like put lie to that narrative. So I'm hoping those are the things we'll see. Regarding Gaza, I think we'll have to wait and sort of see how things develop, particularly with the release of the rest of the hostages at this point.
Absolutely. That is where we leave it, Anne Hertzberg. Thank you, as always, bringing us some perspective on the pay for slay concept. Anne Hertzberg is a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. She's an expert in lawfare.